Sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha viryankaravavahai, tejasvinavaritamastomabhidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara
Srivastadi Kaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so page 32. Okay. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Bhadrashrava, son of Dharmaraj, rules the tract of land known as Bhadrashva Varsha. Just as Lord Shiva worships Shankarsana in Ilavrita Varsha, Bhadrashrava, accompanied by his intimate servants and all the residents of the land, worships the plenary portion of Vasudeva known as Hayashirsha. Right, so. I'm not sure, because I think Haya doesn't mean hot horse. Because I think Shirsha means head. Oh, okay, so it's another name, Hayashirsha. I also have a god brother named Hai Hayat. So that means horse, or maybe that's the Ashwini Kumaras, I don't know. Or saying hello to the horse incarnation. Yeah. Hail Haya. Okay, yeah. Lord Hayashirsha is a very... So therefore, Indra, Ilavritavarsh, then that was Lord Shiva's prayers. Mm-hmm. So it took care of that. So Shankarshan is being worshipped in the middle. Then here, then, Bhadrashravada means then to the right, to the south. Mm-hmm. Right? Then here, Lord Hayashirsha is very dear to the devotees, and he is the director of all religious principles. Because right? Then the Shastras... then that's going to be how religious principles are performed. Oh, it's right. Okay. Normally that would have been the guy. Guy was about 1 foot away and he's talking like that. Yeah. Fixed in the topmost trance, Bhadrashrava and his associates offer their respectful obeisances to the Lord and chant the following prayers with careful pronunciation. Okay, you're getting doubtful if you were one of the real hardcore. The ruler, okay, but you're here now, so that removes all doubts. The ruler, Bhadrashrava, and his intimate associates utter the following prayer, right? So they're with proper pronunciation, so they're very careful about how they're speaking. Right? They're not just saying, but they're very careful, the pronunciation, everything, because especially... in Sanskrit, depending on how you pronounce it, it can mean different things. Any language is like that, but most languages, it's not as delicate.
Sanskrit has this ability to go opposite.
Yes. Just a little something like that. So because you have the long and short vowels,
yeah, exactly.
So that just by a long or short can make the difference in the meaning of the word. You know, like, you know, from beautiful girl to donkey, you know, like that. You know.
And it matters.
And it matters. Yes. Your face is just like that of a donkey. Yeah, it doesn't go down so good. So very careful pronunciation. Right? Okay. Yes, because they want the effect. But here is because they want to please the Lord. Karmakanda is because they're worried for their own results. So in any case, someone who's careful means they want results. So here it's because they want to please the Lord, therefore they're careful. Right? So carefulness is good.
Yes.
Okay. Bhadrashrava and his intimate associates utter the following prayer. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all religious principles, who cleanses the heart of the conditioned soul in this material world. Again and again we offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous and neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property. And if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possessions as well. But problem is that when you die, you can't enjoy your possessions. So, you know, slight flaw in the formula, right? In either case, he heedlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with the acquired money. 1-3. In his purport to verse 3, Srila Prabhupada comments, materialistic persons want to commit all kinds of sinful activities, but without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can do anything. Why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead permit sinful activities? The Supreme Lord does not want any living entity to act sinfully, and he begs them through his good conscience to refrain from sin. But when someone insists upon acting sinfully, the Supreme Lord gives him the sanction to act at his own risk. Mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Right? It means at his own risk, because the results, the reactions will come to him. Right? Because the reactions don't go to Krishna, because he's beyond the modes. So he's trying through the consciousness or different situations to remind us that this is not good, but when we see we're determined, then okay, according to our karma in the way of what we're due, then we can get, you know, or in Krishna consciousness, we can even get beyond. But the point is the reaction is still our own, yeah. Right? And still then we'll get a reaction, and it's not necessarily that it is pretty. I mean, it's more like the donkey, like we were talking about, right? You know, so
there's also a reaction.
Yes, there's a reaction. So then the devotee suffers, yeah. Or the living entity suffers. Right? Yeah. No one can do anything without the sanction of the Lord. He is so kind that when the conditioned soul persists in doing something, the Lord permits the individual soul to act at his own risk. Mm-hmm. Bhadrashrava continues, right? So that's why if we stick to what Krishna recommends, there's no risk.
Yeah.
So if we do what Krishna recommends to please Krishna, there's no risk.
Mm.
So whatever happens, it's all Krishna's taking care of. Right? So we don't have to worry that it's outside of what Krishna gives.
So can we say there are different levels of sanction, you know, depending on how involved Krishna is in the sanction, our relationship? I mean,
it means if it's a non-devotee, then it'll be sanctioned by Maya.
Yeah.
I mean, no, sanctioned by him, but Maya carries it out. In other words, it's not that he has to sanction each moment,
no.
But she already knows if it's like this, you do this, if it's like this, so she just carries it on, you know, as a practiced servant will. But when it's devotees, then Krishna will be involved, sanctioning it each thing.
Exactly.
But the point is, it's the same principle.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's adjusted according to the living entity being able to appreciate Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the difference. Right. How it means by giving if they'll appreciate, or by not giving they'll appreciate, whatever will create the appreciation. Bhadrashrava continues, O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance they realize the factual position of this world, and they preach the truth as well. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Right, so the illusory energy is very special, even though it's just a fraction of a spark of its splendor, and it's so amazing. That's the things we can look at, how amazing things are. You can do things, how they make things work so nicely. That's Krishna. It's not the technique, we think it's the technique, but why would the technique work? Right? It's because Krishna is there. That's what makes it special. Srila Prabhupada comments, not only does the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act on the conditioned souls within this material world, but sometimes it also acts on the most advanced learned scholars, who factually know the constitutional position of this material world through realization. As soon as someone thinks, I am this material body, aham mamati, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8, and everything in relation with this material body is mine, He is an illusion, moha. So any moment that happens, it has an effect. So it's not that it's how you say? So you could say Maya is the real one about liberty, equity, fraternity. Yeah. Everybody gets dealt with. Yeah. Everybody gets kicked down the stairs with equal, you know, enthusiasm. Right? Yeah. Yes? So actually, when you think it, you're standing there thinking that, you know, who's the nice lady with the torch and all this and that, actually it's Maya.
Nice lady with the torch.
He gets
it. Shandak. Okay.
Huh?
Yeah. He said Shandak.
Joan of Arc.
Oh, Joan of Arc, yes, yeah. Like yeah. That. Yeah. So. Yeah, Lady Liberty, because also came from France.
Yeah.
See, all the ladies with the torches, they all came from France.
From France.
Right? You know, which is well known as a solid seat of the more refined aspects of Maya.
Yes.
But we say, often we say that France is Maya.
No, yeah. The other places are controlled by Maya. France is Maya. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Bhavananda, the first time he went to Paris, he said if he had come there at a younger age, he never would have gone anywhere else. So, yes. France is Maya. Okay.
In France, we have also New Mayapur.
New Mayapur, yes. Yes. New Mayapur. Yeah, it's just a matter of whether. Now the question is whether it's Yoga Maya or Maha Maya.
Yes.
That's the. That's a detail. Yeah. A finer point. Yes. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes also acts on liberated souls as well. A liberated soul is a person who has sufficient knowledge of this material world and is therefore unattached to the bodily conception of life. But because of association with the modes of material nature for a very long time, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusory energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. Right? There's just so much habit and practice of acting on the material platform that even when they do rise up to the transcendental stage, if they're inattentive, you know, then they can be adjusted from that position. Right? So that's why then we say devotional service is the only safe position. Because even you get yourself to the liberated platform by knowledge and practice, it still is not enough to keep you there necessarily. Maya can still trick you.
So sometimes Krishna messes with the devotees because of the lila. That comes under a different category, like Dhyanika.
That's a different thing. We can't throw that in for us.
We're
part of Krishna's lila here.
Lila, you know?
Yeah, it's just lila. I ate so much Mahaprasada, now I'm sick. You know, it's like that. It's just lila. That you can go, and Mayavadis will say that. They'll give you that one.
Yeah,
devotees. So.
When you say that devotional service is only the safe position, can you say especially devotee association?
Yes, yeah, devotional service in the association of devotees.
Means
like
safe.
Yeah, then that's the place. That's what Jarabhart is saying.
Yes.
Means we're doing service to Krishna in the association of advanced devotees. Yes. That's actually going to make it safe. Yes. No, just because everyone has their tell, so you have to know the tell. Like the lady this morning was this.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like this, then it's like, you know, question?
Yeah.
No. And then later on, then it's question.
Okay.
Like that. Yes.
When we're speaking about liberated souls, we speak about those who, yes, on the level, let's say, respect.
Yes, you can. You can even say up to Bharat Maharaj. Yeah, means from there on. You can say because they'll act in that, you know, the higher up. So we can, but in this, we're either meaning those who are impersonalists who are liberated, or we can also mean devotees who are liberated. But of the two, the devotees who's liberated, their position is going to be stronger. Right? Because they're engaging the senses, they're getting a taste, while the impersonalists,
their taste is only coming from the liberated platform. Mm-hmm. So the point being is that the platform of liberation still is not enough to get beyond the Maya's influence. Right? You may temporarily get past, but you won't permanently get past. Because, you know, it's still within her realm. The Mahatattva, it's her realm. Right? And so the impersonalists, they're still within, you know, Mahakalapura is still within the Mahatattva. Mm. It may be situated in Vasudeva Sattva, yeah. But its situation is there. You're not too far away. Okay. You know? Mm. Because, you know, you don't know the spiritual world, how you'll go to the spiritual world. Is that...
Maya is a Jiva. Maya Devi, she's a Jiva.
No. She's the transformation of the internal potency. So she, just as Shiva is transformation of Vishnu Tattva, she's transformation within Shakti. She's Shakti, but now she's in control of the external energy. While her origin is control of the internal energy.
Yes. Shiva.
Yeah. So she's. That's why her and Shiva go together. So him saying we Jivas, we fall. You know, that's just his prayer. Yeah. It's technically, no, unless this particular Shiva is a Jiva, which is a very rare thing, but they can. They qualify, they can take it up. Inside, not outside. Outside, when Gopakumara went to Mahakalapura, and there's Shiva and his wife and Nandi, and they're doing kirtan and worshipping Shankarshan, that is, he's non-different than Mahavishnu. He's just the aspect of destruction, right? Mahavishnu will be the aspect of maintenance, and Hiranyagarbha will be the aspect of creation. Though they're all Mahavishnu, but he's that aspect. But when you come into the material world, he's his expansion. So he's still Shiva Tattva, but that's where a Jiva could take up the position if they had that piety. But it's rare. Brahma is pretty standard that there can be a Jiva there, but the Lord generally has to do it. But Shiva, that's generally going to be not a Jiva, but it could be. You know, does that make sense? You know, just like any of the positions, Indra, the Manu, like this, if there's someone there who's pious, then they'll do it. But if not, then the Lord will stand in. So generally there's a Jiva to do those positions. Right? Because they're lower. Brahma's more rare, so generally it's a Jiva, but it could be probably more often the Lord doing the position. But down on Manus and that, generally it would be a Jiva's doing. And occasionally then the Lord does. Yes?
Why would this poor family that prayer? Because they understand that their position is temporary and they should work out?
I think he's just pointing out the power of his illusory energy. You know, how great he is, and he's in control of that energy. He's beyond the energy. And most likely is because this is an area they deal with. Like as it mentioned here, fixed in the topmost trance, Bhadrashrava and his associates offer their respectful obeisances. Right? So that means they must be, you know, through their sadhana and things like that, so they'd be aware of it. You know, so it'll naturally come up. Is that
I have another question from previous chapter.
Previous chapter.
Yeah. Lord Shiva was saying there, let those who remember you go up to you, and those who don't, let them go down.
Yes, because that's the in other words, those who remember the Lord, which is actually the purpose, let them, you know, be freed from the material. Those who don't remember, let them become entangled, because that's what they want.
It's just
pointing out the potency of the Lord. That's the way Maya works. It means we recognize the connection to Krishna, then we're free. We don't recognize, then we're bound. Like that. I mean, because that's what they deserve. It's just like, let us say, okay, an individual follows the laws of the state, let him be, you know, freely move and happily in society, and those who are criminals, let them be in the prison.
Yes.
It's basically like saying that. Yeah, so that's it. Because of the association of the modes of material nature for a very long time, That's why then even the liberated souls sometimes become captivated. So that would be why we see in Bharat Maharaj that there would be that element. So that's why we have to take it very seriously. It's because of being associated with so long, you know, basically time immemorial. Then there'll be a few lifetimes when one's not. So in comparison, it's by time, there's so much more practice on the material. But Krishna consciousness is so powerful, it can overpower that. But you have to remain Krishna conscious. Right? We don't remain Krishna conscious, then we get a problem. So that's the point. We think of Krishna, we're fine. We don't think of Krishna, then we're less than fine. Yeah. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Only those who surrender unto me can overcome the influence of the material energy. Therefore, no one should think of himself as a liberated person immune to the influence of Maya. Because it's only remembering Krishna. Because if you think, I'm not influenced by Maya, then you're actually an illusion at that moment. Because you're thinking, I'm the one that's not. Actually, no, it's Krishna. By his grace, we're not. Right? That's what we're trying to do. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following the regulative principles. Thus he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So it's not that one's fixed, following rigidly the regulator principles. It's that determination to do that to please Guru and Krishna. Mm-hmm. That's the point. Because it's by Krishna's grace we can follow. But we have to have the determination that this is what I want to do. So if we're fixed on it, we get it. Right? Just like the living entity is fixed on being by sinful activities, then Krishna will give it. Right? In the beginning he doesn't, but he'll give. But if we're fixed on Krishna consciousness, even in the beginning it doesn't go so smoothly, we'll get it. Thus he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, right? Not fixed in the regulations, he's fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. That's what makes the regulations work. Yes.
It appears that on the stage of Vaidhisadhana, it's not possible to always remember Krishna and never forget him. It's only on the stage of Rag, like here, you know, then we, because it's natural. But before, we make an effort.
Right,
and
right.
Then, you know, from moment to moment, we remember and forget and remember and forget and like this.
Yes. But the point is, what's the overall intent?
Yeah, the overall intent.
That's the point. So means, or let's say even a little bit closer, because any devotee, no matter what situation, and ultimately is to please Krishna, develop love of God. But like in what you're doing, if that's the intent, even though one may not be doing it so well, then that will be more progressive than, oh, it doesn't matter if we're a little bit lax and all. Didn't we have a discussion like that? Something came up before?
Yeah.
You know, about, you know, some are thinking, oh yeah, you brought that some are thinking, you know, what's the big deal? You know, we go on, you know, it's good, like this. So in that, that'll be slower. That will be distracted more. Mm-hmm. But if one really wants to please Krishna, even though one may be forgetting, you know, quite regularly, still Krishna sees that intent, that desire, that endeavor. You know, so the results come. But it doesn't mean that what goes wrong doesn't give those wrong results. Because it goes wrong because we're not thinking of Krishna, so then the results that come from that wrong then also affect us and make us more inspired. We should think of Krishna. Right? Because if nothing happened, then we'll think, what's the problem? But if something happens, then we...
That's the problem.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
So we are more or less fixed in Sambandha and Prayojana, but Abhidei is closer than we have to work on it constantly.
Yes. But we're fixed in that devotional service is the Abhidei.
Yes.
Yes, so we're fixed in the... we're fixed in the Sambandha Gyan. Right? We know, have the knowledge, we have the proper attitude, we know the goal and we know the process.
Right.
Right? Now, in application of the process, you know, the Abhideya and receiving the results, that we need some work and practice. But we have the proper understanding in the Sambandha Gyan. So all those four positions we're clear about.
Yeah.
Right? Now, how well we can execute it and then keep focused on Krishna, that will come with time. But if the Sambandha Gyan is strong, that's why then we study this knowledge. So the Sambandha Gyan is strong. Yeah. Like, so we've just heard of... Now let's say, in the modern context, somebody is living, you know, they have the big fancy place and the fanciest places in the world. They have their own yacht. They're out on their boat. They're enjoying life with friends and family and, you know, plenty of things like that. What do we expect their consciousness will be? Enjoying. You know, are they going to be offering prayers to the Lord? Yes. Right? You know, it's not that the guy is out there on the on his boat with all his, you know, relatives and all that, and he's, you know, and then, you know, where's Manny? You know, and he's downstairs because there's one blank wall on the boat there, and he's off there doing his davanas and, you know, offering his prayers. And right? It's a good chance not, right? This means anything to anybody? No. Okay, so... So then the point is that's not going to be happening, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So the thing is, but here we've just heard about Elabhritavarsha in these places, yeah. And this is what they're doing. They're offering prayers. They're not forgetting the Lord. Sorry?
They're not on a yacht.
Yes. They stay on the land, yes. And they're only going to the water deep enough that you can still splash water and stuff like that. So that means you have to, at least your arms have to be out. Right? Yes.
But now you realize why notes better than cards. Because from the note it's written in God we trust.
Yes. True. True. Very good. Yeah, they don't put that on cards. I guess so on there, if you look small enough, then it says, in Wall Street we trust. So notes is better.
Yeah.
I think the coins also have, in God we trust.
All coins, they have a lot of, it's like a prayer, actually. Huh? Even in Russian, it's written there in old Russian language, it's not for me, it's for God.
Oh, really?
On the coin.
On the coin. Wow.
No, it's 1800.
Yeah. And it probably is worth a bit more than now.
Yeah.
A ruble you could probably buy a house for. But, you know. Yeah, no, it's more of a... That's the thing. Opulence should generate God consciousness.
Yeah.
But nowadays, opulence doesn't. Because if opulence generates God consciousness, how do you spend your money? Right? More carefully.
Yeah.
You buy something and then you're good. But if it doesn't generate God consciousness, then there's greed, so therefore you'll spend more money. So actually, by the modern economic position, they don't want you to actually be God conscious because you'll spend less money. Right? Yeah. Yes? About this? Careful pronunciation, yes. Yes. The point is, the intent is the main thing, but the point here, they can do this. He's the son of who? Yamaraj, right? Huh?
Dharmaraj.
So yeah. So because they're on Bhadrashava's on the south, right? Oh, okay. We're doing it that way. Yeah, sorry. Because I'm used to Vastu, you would look at this like this. Yeah. You put east as the name. I had a problem because I drew out the whole Gurukul and all that and then put the arrow with east.
But everybody thought it's a north.
Yeah, and then I handed it in to the architects who are supposed to draw it up. And when I draw it up, it's north. And so then you have to change. Because Vastu is all off of east.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go around from there. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well. Okay, so the Bharat is in the south, so that's Punyabhumi. Okay. Now, where we... Sorry? Yeah, well, that's probably going by the southern gate part rather than... Okay. Yes. Yes. Right.
So the mood of what we have in the church is like that of what Krishna is in the mood of. Hello? see the opulence of this of my devotion. The other day you mentioned how...
No, but I'm just... I didn't get the connection.
The other day you mentioned how on this planet... on higher planets they have great sense of facilities.
Right.
And still remember the appears to one or the other.
Yes.
And Siddhartha Pandit is seeing great opulence and thinking of opportunity.
Because generally someone with that kind of facility is a materialist. See, it wasn't that they were just going to go, hey, let's go visit this king, he's a devotee. Gadadhar Pandit would have dealt quite differently. Right? He's a king, he's a devotee, okay, nice, you know, just sit, be pleasant and go away. But he was saying he needs a guru, and so he was being taken to this person as a guru. And it's kind of like, you know, hey. You know, because they were also, you know, they were also renounced. Like that. Gadadhar Pandit, he was also sannyasis, so, you know, Sri Damodara, Vajitanya, they were all sannyasis. How much of the, form of the sannyas they accepted, that's another thing. Like, Sri Damodara didn't accept the saffron cloth, wore white. So he accepted the renounced order, but not all the symptoms. Like that. So then they're there, so then naturally then and that they're materialists. How would they be able to give guidance for a sannyasi? Right? Because it's just a different mode of what you're engaging. But when he saw the devotion, then there's no problem. So the pronunciation is that you're careful to say nicely and everything like that. So we'll say as nicely as we know. So depending upon our language, that has to be more careful or less careful. You know. So with English, that's probably the least careful. You know, has the widest range of ways of pronouncing things. You know, it's like the, you know, you have the Varga, ta ta da da, you know, or cha cha ja ja. So generally in English, whichever one it is, it gets shifted to the next one. Like ta ta da da. One, two. One, you know, then they get, you know, it gets to the end. One up. You know what I'm saying? So it just, it doesn't matter. The point is you keep the mood properly and what you're saying, you're careful that what you're saying is what you mean. So then that's good enough. No, it's just you chant them nicely with attention. You know, trying to say the words as properly as you can, as far as you know. What do you mean by specific? No, but this is classical Sanskrit. So there's not a specific tune for the syllable. You understand? That way you can put various ways of chanting to the main thing is you're following that you're saying the right syllable and the right length. Right? So then you get the word right. But in Vedic it has that plus it includes that there's a particular tonal quality. So it's not that you can just say them any way you like. They have a very specific quality. No, that's fine. It doesn't have a melody, the syllable. What I was talking before was the Vedic. There is a syllable for that. I mean, there is a tonal quality. You have to use that tone. Right? And so each Veda has its own system. You know, much of it's similar because they're all based on the Riks. But at the same time, due to grammar, things do adjust. That's the Vedas itself. Yes, the Veda Samhita. No, Veda Puranas is classical Sanskrit. So you have the Vedic Sanskrit, which is the Samhitas, right, in the Upanishad. Then you have the classical Sanskrit. Right, so that'll be all your Smriti Shastras. Is that the sense? Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, I mean, thus, okay. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following regular principles. Thus, he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, a little inattention can create havoc. We have already seen an example of this in the case of Maharaj Bharata. Maharaj Bharata was undoubtedly a great devotee, but because he turned his attention slightly towards a small deer, he had to suffer two more births. One as a deer and another as the Brahmana Jarabharata. Afterward, he was liberated and went back home, back to Godhead. The Lord is always prepared to excuse his devotee, but if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposely commits mistakes again and again, the Lord will certainly punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of the illusory energy. In other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service, then one's position is secure. So it's not how much you know, it's how much one surrenders to Krishna. That's the whole point. So the reason we study is because it makes us more inclined to surrender to Krishna. That's the advantage of the study, right? Then we remember about Krishna, we're absorbed in Krishna while we're studying, right? It gives us more opportunity to see it in relationship to whatever we're doing in our life. So, but it's not the knowledge itself, because Krishna is the knowledge. It's whether Krishna reveals himself or not. Bhadrashrava continues, O Lord, although you are completely detached from the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, and are not directly affected by these activities, they are all attributed to you. We do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. You are the active principle of everything, although you are separate from everything. Right, so he's the active principle of everything, but he's separate from everything. So he is a person that's separate, but his energies, they're the ones that make everything work. That's how he's simultaneously, he is everything, and at the same time he's different from everything. We do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. Right? So it's not wondrous, it's just this is his standard. It's not that they don't care, it's just something ordinary. But it means that they're not amazed or shocked. Like that. Yeah. You are the active principle in everything, although you are separate from everything. Thus we can realize that everything is happening because of your inconceivable energy. At the end of the millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas, and took them down to the planet of Rasatala. The Supreme Lord, however, in his form of Hayagriva, retrieved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma when he begged for them. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. Yes.
So this is the same pastime that you described now.
Well, this seems to be another one. So it seems to be a regular feature. Like this. Yeah, it seems that when the Vedas are stolen, then Hayagriva gets them back.
Okay.
Like that.
Circumstances might differ.
Yeah, so here it seems at the end of the millennium, then he comes up. That was in the very beginning, before the creation. That was after Krishna's given Brahma the Vedas, but before he's actually created the world. So that's when Madhu and Kaitava, that's why they're very special, because they're before the creation.
Okay.
Right? They came from the back of the Lord, because right? The back is ignorance, so they came from there. So the same principle, ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Madhu and Kaitava, they're one form, and then this other demon,
Ajnana,
is another one. Yeah. Five to six. In his purport to verse 6, Srila Prabhupada comments, although the Vedic knowledge is imperishable, within this material world it is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. When the people of this material world become too absorbed in ignorance, the Vedic knowledge disappears. Lord Hayagriva, O Lord Matsya, however, always protect the Vedic knowledge, And in due course of time, it is again distributed through the medium of Lord Brahma. Brahma is the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when he again asked for the treasure of the Vedic knowledge, the Lord fulfilled his desire. Right? But he asks, then he receives. Right? That's the principle. Like that. Because if you don't want, why you'll get? Because if you give something that they don't want to someone, even though it's valuable, they don't value it. But when they want it, you give, then that's it. You may also make it that they will appreciate it, then you give. Right? Does that make sense? Verses 7 to 14. Not reading them backwards. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj leads prayers to Lord Narsingadev in Harivarsha. Right, so Hari is?
We know that Prahlad Maharaj lives in
the
Hemisphere.
I think he lives in Sutala. Prahlad Maharaj lives in Sutala. But he's same time he's here. He's got a summer house here. Right. So this is Harivarsha. So this is to the south of Meru.
In one of the
okay, so it does it in a like a pie shape. Yeah, well, that's probably because this is how it's manifest now, so there's different varieties of how it can manifest. So that's what it'll mean, that'll be cultivated. So it's not wrong, it's just that the main things will be in between. So that means it'll put, so means Harivarsha will be on the one side, Kimpurusha on the other. Okay. So it'll just mean Hiranyamaya will be the one side and Aramyaka will be the other. So your four directions stay the same. It's just that then you have, in other words, in a line like this is just in between. So it's just a different mandala, that's all. This one they're using a Yajna mandala, so the other must be using one of the other mandalas. So in other words, it's designed like a mandala. So it gives the variety. It's still the same principle. Yep, good. Or, you know, or Chakrabdi Mandala, you know, these different, that have these different, you know, the quadrants are important. Yeah. Yes?
What is the meaning of mandala?
Of mandala.
What is it mean?
Mandala basically means it's a geometric design that's representing, you know, some higher principle, the situation of the spiritual world and the material world, the relationship between them. But it's put into a diagram, so it shows it geographically. Okay, in Harivarsha, Prahlad Maharaj prays to Lord Narsingadev, asking that his citizens be blessed with detachment to temporary family life and attachment to Sadhu Sangha. Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King, Lord Narsingadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivarsha. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Narsingadev. Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all the good qualities of great personalities. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of his demoniac family. Lord Narsingadev is very dear to this exalted personality. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and all the denizens of Harivarsha, worship Lord Narsingadev by chanting the following mantra." Verse 7. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Prahlad Maharaj was put into great distress by his powerful father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Apparently helpless before him, Prahlad Maharaj called on the Lord, who immediately assumed the gigantic form of Nrisingadev, half lion and half man, to kill the gigantic demon. Although Krishna is the original person, one without a second, he assumes different forms just to satisfy his devotees or to execute a specific purpose. So it's again goes back to himself personally, how he relates with the devotees. Right? That's the cause of everything. So the cause of all causes is a person.
Yes.
Like that. Then in the effect of the cause, then there's mechanics, is there. Mentality, mechanics, and all that. But the real, original cause is him as a person and his desire. And then taking it a step back from that, then is the devotee. Because the devotees want to see him in that particular form. Therefore, he manifests
it.
He caused him to appear. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisingadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Right, so we see different kind of attitudes brought out. Before it was this point of knowledge and liberation, and that actually being situated in devotional service is the real point of knowledge, the real point of liberation. Right, so here now he's talking about the demoniac qualities and nature and desires within the heart and those things that take us away from Krishna. Right. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Right? So fear means I identify with the body. Fearless means I don't identify with the body. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service they will think of each other's welfare. Right? So this is the real position to correct everything. Not that by some modern, you know, social environment or arrangements, then we'll make everything nice for everybody. No, people that are envious, and all, it'll only be by devotional service. Being pacified in devotional service, then all these bad elements, they all go away. Everything becomes nice. Yes, this is the original prayer for world peace. Whether it would get you the crown, I'm not sure, but this is the original practice. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him, 8 and 9. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, in praying for auspiciousness of the universe, there should be auspiciousness even for the sinful. Then affliction of devotees should be absent. Thus he prays that the demons become devoid of anger, prasidatam. Even if the devotees are not afflicted, there can still be mutual animosity between other beings. With that, there can be no auspiciousness. So even if the devotees are fine, everybody else is making trouble, it still creates an unfavorable environment. So that's the whole idea, is that if everybody is situated nicely, then the devotees will situate it. But the only way to situate everyone nicely is that they're devotees. Therefore, everybody should be devotees. Not that, oh, they're sinful, then they should be kicked out of this devotional line. Right? No, it's that everybody should be absorbed. So it's how to get someone to be situated in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he says, may all beings meditate on auspiciousness. Auspiciousness cannot exist with attachment to material enjoyment. Therefore, he prays that the mind partake of auspiciousness. Bhadram here means without attachment. Without bhakti, auspiciousness is inauspicious. May our nishkama, akuti, ahaituki minds be absorbed in Krishna. Right? So that's the point, is even the most auspicious mundane activity is inauspicious if there's no bhakti. Right? So that's the... So it's interesting. Bhadram means being gentle, or cultured means without attachment. Because mm-hmm. that's the whole point. If you act without attachment, that would be what's considered, that's the culture. When we say someone's cultured, that's actually the cultured aspect. Is they're acting without attachment. They're acting according to duties, according to the situation, interacting properly, not that they're attached and so this is the way it goes. Mm-hmm. Right? The person who says, you know, this is the way it is, this is how I am, this is what I'm going to do, you'll say, okay, the guy's straightforward like that, but you won't say he's cultured. You won't say he's gentle. So that's the interesting thing. So being a gentleman actually means not being attached. Right? Because then you're cultured. Then you do what's right. Right? And what's right then is according to what Krishna says, so therefore it's perfectly right. So we don't have to worry that doing what Krishna says will be give us a bad result. No, it'll always give a good result. Does that sound like sense?
Gives a bad result, it wasn't the person.
Yes.
And if we look at it as that's not the result.
Yeah. Because the thing is no matter what the result, we do things nicely for Krishna.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada adds, Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. Here typical means standard, not typical meaning just ordinary. Like, because in the usage, when you translate from, you know, the local languages into English, let's say you cook something and it was exactly according to tradition, then they'll say, wow, that's very typical.
Yes.
Right? We'll think it's typical means ordinary.
Yeah.
But it actually means no, it's right on.
It's similar with standard. Standard from a material point of view,
yeah,
is kind of shabby. And,
yeah.
From Vedic, it's,
yeah, no, standard means that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So when he says he's typical devotee, Vaishnava means this is the standard of Vaishnava behavior. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, so it means he's the type that then becomes the typical. Okay. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities. The gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. Right, so we fit in there somewhere. Huh?
Two out of three.
Yeah, no, we did pretty good. Yeah, we were hoping just one, but yeah, most likely two. Right? Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on." Right. So each time it's mentioned, it brings out different aspects. Remember that one before? It's like the list kept going on. You think, okay, now it'll end, and it keeps going. Then the next, oh, it'll end in the next line that keeps going. Oh, yeah. That was pretty far out. I guess so. That was yours or mine? He's ruling the city. He's ruling the citizens. Oh yes, so that means he's grown up. Because you'd only rule if you've already been married. Because once you get put onto the thing, then you have to immediately get married. Sorry?
He's talking from realization.
Yes, he's talking from realization. So that's the whole point, is if we have brahmachari saying this, then what's going to be the reaction? Just like now, we're talking in generic about being attached to the wife, but we're not getting into too much detail. But when it gets down to detail about the women, who's going to say the point? Yeah, some girl has to say it. Otherwise, oh, well, that's what the men think. So that's the whole point. Points about grihasthas, then the grihasthas say. Points about the women say. Right, then you can't. It means there'll be the generic Narad Muni will say something, or the Kumaras, or like this. But ultimately it goes back to what they'll be quoting is from source. In other words, how you say, in terms of, how you say, in the context of what we've been reading here, then you want to hear from horse's mouth. Right? Does that make sense? So it has the dual meaning of Shastra coming that's been given by, you know, Hayashirsha, at the same time from a source that we will consider credible. Like that. So it has the dual meaning. Right, so Yes. From his breathing, yes. Okay. Yes. So that's then that would also be there. So it's it always has to do with wind because sound is made by air. Because also is the Samaveda is coming from Garuda's wings. When he flaps, then the air in between the sound is, so that must be pleasant. So he's flying and then, you know, Krishna's sitting there and then the sound is Samaveda while he flies. You know, pleasantly in the background, so it doesn't disturb the conversation between him and Satyabhama. And so, you know, it's nice. It's, yeah, no, because there's two wings, so it already is a stereo. Plus, you have feathers in the front, feathers in the back, so it's surround sound. You know, so it's good. It's up to date. You know, Groot is unlimitedly powerful, so the megawatts you don't even want to know about, but it's perfectly controlled, so it's... Yes. Right, and the nerd thought he had it going good, right? Here the Lord is writing his sound system. There they just have to sit there. I remember one devotee was telling me, because he was into sound, and they're, you know, working in studios and trying to get the perfect sound. You know, it's about Krishna. And they're working out this and that. They got these speakers, and there was a little bit of, you know, it's kind of stuff that we can't even tell. You know, and it's less than that. You're not satisfied. So he gets something, and he screws the speakers down into the floor so they can't vibrate. And then he's listening to sound. Tears are coming from his eyes. It's the perfect sound like that. So to get the perfect sound, they got to nail it to the floor, right? But here, Krishna flies around the universe with his sound. Right? So definitely Krishna's in a better position. Yes, always, yeah. Okay, the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees whose only friend is Krishna. So that's the key point, is the attachment. So family life is a prison if there's attachment. If there's no attachment, it's not a prison. By engaging in the same activities, that will liberate you. By doing it for Krishna, you please Krishna, and then it's devotion. No, it would mean that, because the point is even if he doesn't have to work, you do have to go down to, what was that river? The Jambu Mala, and pick the gold up. You know, so that's work. Yeah. Oh, the bank balance just means your money, what you consider yours. So that would be a translation, so we know what you're talking about. You know. Yes, stock of wealth. Stock of wealth. That was bank balance and works. Yeah, it's worked for a while, bank balance. Because I think since the 1600s they've had banks. As a, you know, in the Western society, is a major thing. I'm sure they've had people, you go and you do activities like banks, but you don't have organized banks, I think, until the 1600s. That's when I think the Rothschilds figured out that there was a market here. Yeah, the opportunity was there. Yeah. So then they worked it out. Yes. Is that okay? Okay, if we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees whose only dear friend is Krishna, because the devotees are connected to Krishna, right? So that's the combination we want to get, Krishna and the devotees, or the devotees and Krishna. Right? A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses, right? Because it's just about engaging in Krishna, because the senses will be taken care of. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. Right, so the attachment is the key. Attachment to Krishna and the devotees, that's fine. And so everything you have, you use it for Krishna and the devotees, it doesn't matter what you have or how much you have. But you don't use it for Krishna and the devotees, that's what's going to get in your way. That's what's going to cause a problem. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. For a person attached to the Lord, association with devotees is favorable, and bad association is an obstacle. Right? Because it's about connecting to the Lord. The material world is about becoming God conscious. So if you associate with those who are God conscious, it's favorable. That's auspicious. If you associate with those who aren't God consciousness, you're going against actually the purpose of the material world. So that's the point. What's auspicious? What moves you towards Krishna? What's inauspicious? What moves you away? That's why it says that even you follow the recommended auspicious activities, if it's not to please Krishna, it's actually inauspicious. Even though you're going the right direction, you're going to stop before you get there. So actually, how auspicious means it's correct. It gets the right result. But if you're going on the bus and the bus stops on the side of the road at the tea stall, and then you don't get back on the bus, how is that auspicious? Even though you've gotten closer to your destination.
You say that auspicious without connecting to Krishna is only auspicious on the gross level.
It's within bad. It's less bad. Right. That's the whole point. You know, it's just like, let's say you wanted, okay, something. Okay, let's say you wanted want to go to Calcutta, okay? And you need something that can get you to Calcutta despite the situation of the roads,
yes.
Okay? So, now, the appropriate vehicle would be...
helicopter.
I didn't take it that far. Or that. But okay, helicopter. So instead, you can use, get an ambassador, or you can get one of those, motorized flatbed rickshaws.
Yeah.
So between, since you don't have a helicopter, is it going to be the ambassador, or is it going to be the motorized rickshaw?
So it's going to be the ambassador.
That's pious activity in the material world.
It's an ambassador.
Yes.
It's crystal clear.
And sinful activities are the rickshaw.
It's crystal clear.
Yes, devotional service. That means is you have it not that. So actually, it's a better example because it's so much more extreme than the one I was going to do. So it actually worked out better. See? So if you're not attached, then it works out better. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point, is that pious activities are considered pious because they're what's recommended in scriptures. But what's recommended? The activities for devotional service. So if we do the activities recommended for devotional service, not for devotional service, that can't really be auspicious. We get up early in the morning, we take our bath, we sit down, we do our little bit of meditation or a little puja, but all just so that we can get more money or merge into the Brahman. So what's the point? The point is you're supposed to get up early and take your bath and do your puja to worship Krishna, to show devotion. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's what's gone wrong with these things. That's the mistake. Does that make sense? Yeah, so this is the, ununderstandable point of the comparison between bhakti, pious and impious activities, bhakti, karma, and jnana. You understand?
Yeah.
Not having to change your situation, but we seemingly change your situation. That's only because we're malechas and yavanas, yeah, and whatever we've done, none of it's good anyway, so... So that's the whole thing. But if you look at the principle, that's not tossed out, but the detail is. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That's what the point is. The Vedic detail is more in tune with bhakti. While the non-Vedic, it's depending on where it is, it gets farther and farther away. Does that make sense?
This means that gradually attachment to these things will be destroyed, right, if we take up devotional service. That doesn't mean our dealing with them will be destroyed. It means our attachment to them will be destroyed. Now we'll have a doubt. No, but if the attachments are destroyed, they won't interact. That's because of material consciousness based on material attachment. That's the only reason we act. Right? But on the spiritual platform, we act to please Krishna. So this is Krishna's house, Krishna's wife, Krishna's children, Krishna's wealth. Where was that other one? Oh, that was the previous page? Oh, that was up here. Yeah. Children, friends, bank balance, relatives, they all belong to Krishna. So therefore, how do you deal with Krishna's bank balance? You know, for buying things that are useful in Krishna consciousness, according to your duties. Right? How do you deal with the wife? According to how Krishna, you know, like that. Because he is the wife. He is the dealings with the wife. He is the person dealing with the wife. He's the results gained from dealing with the wife. You understand? He's all that. So that's why then for the devotee, he deals because it pleases Krishna. So that's why it doesn't matter where he's applying it. Mm. Right? The brahmachari life is more simple. So therefore, since you're in the material world, the simple is easier. Right? Why get it elaborated? But if you're in the spiritual world, you see is over there, how many are brahmacharis? Right? Right? Nard Muni? Right? Four Kumaras? Durvasa Muni shows up. We leave anyone out? Oh. Brahmachari. No, but that's not a Brahmin, Brahmachari. Hanuman. That's another thing. Yes. But he's the ultimate Brahmachari. Okay, if you want to put it like that, then they're all, okay, it depends on how you want to make it look. Yeah, no, everyone is like going to every spiritual world, they're all brahmacharis. Just some have to be grihastha brahmacharis, something like this, but they're all brahmacharis. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But if saying as far as duties, then you only see a few, a handful. They've gotten up to four. Pallad when he's young, but then he grows up. You know, Hanuman grows up, he's still a brahmachari. Nard Muni grows up, still a brahmachari. Four Kumaras, they just don't grow up and they remain brahmachari. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that over there, no one minds the difficulty of going through all that. Because it's all for Krishna, so it's not a difficulty, it's just a variety in service. Well, in the material world, then since it's about Krishna, then the particular situation you're in, then you choose one or the other. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So technically it doesn't matter. Just one's more difficult. That's why, because so much of the indirect, therefore, one comes to the point, at some point, one just wants to focus more on direct activities. Right? That's why then husband and wife simplify things, become vanapras, because it's more about the direct. Did we discuss this about the trippiness? The trippiness? We did. Because that's the whole thing, is that how much of the day is spent, and, you know, means one has one's duties, one has one's activities, one has one's sadhana, one has one's service, right? So those things all remain. Now, what are the points in question, right? The half an hour of nicely interacting and the many hours of not quite sure what's going on. Right? Now, the nicely interacting is because, you know, they're working together and they're the companionship. And there's a good chance that hours before something worked out. Now, what's the point of the hours before? What is the point of it? Taste, but the point is the taste is, it's about profit. You understand? It's about developing, expanding it, developing it. Right? So that principle of stri, right? Expanding. Right? So, vanaprastha means that's the part that goes. Most are, you know, it's just about the stuff we have, it is about this, it's about that, or the color of cloth. No, it's not about that. It's about the desire for expanding goes. So if the desire for expanding goes, then all those hours spent on trippiness goes. Therefore, you have all the time left for more for sadhana service and other things like that.
You understand? So because the husband doesn't want to extend things, the wife doesn't want, so there's no need for that kind of interaction. So therefore it comes down to just the companionship. Right? It's not that now they spend that whole time just sitting. Now they'll do other things. Because more than half an hour, then what are you going to do? Where's the variety? You understand? Yes. On one degree, maybe mentally, but then if one still has children to get married and stuff like that, then one's still the grihastha. Once they're all gone, then that's... The point is that generally mentions that when one sees the children of one's children and one sees gray hairs, though these days you don't actually have to be very old to get gray hairs. Yeah, okay, get the children of your children also. Yeah, so before they could take the vanaprastha at about 25. Right, you know. Girl marries at 12, then immediately has a child, then, you know, by the time you're 25, then you see the children of your children. You know, and by the time you're 60, you know, then you see the great-great-grandchildren of your children. You know, so. Far out, right, you know. So, yes. But the point is that would be the general thing. You know, because traditionally it was gray hair came when you were older. And grandchildren came, you were always a bit older. You know. So that's the principle. So it's basically when the family duties are done, according to tradition, not according to what we say. Like that. And so that's why the proper thing. So then also if you have the girl, she wants to be, you know, professional, get her career down and this and that, it may be harder to get her married before, you know, you die of a heart attack or something. But, you know, so that's why then the tradition, she'd be interested in getting married, you know, while she's, you know, it was still within youth, you know, like that. You know, so in other words, the concept was when you begin youth, that's that, you know, married life, that's what your best years are in youth. So that gives you 14 years there. So, you know, like that. And then it's just a little over, then in your maturity, then the kids grow up and get married, and then like that. And he's a real catch himself, right? Yeah. 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 So that's what the Vedic's recommending, because it's just like, you have a younger girl, right? She gets upset. How difficult it is to get her upset? Quite easy. Now she's in her 20s. She gets upset. A little more difficult. She's in her 30s. More than that. You understand? That's the whole point. So the idea of the Vedic is you get married younger, then because they're getting to know each other, there's going to be obstacles and difficulties, but they're much more easily worked out. Because both the boy and the girl are both not complicated. Therefore, she will in a very simple way become upset, and he'll in a very simple way, you know, say something. And so it'll work out. He's not worried that, because when you get old, well, if I say this, then that might happen, because that happened before, and then I can say, no, but then that one is over here like that. Then there was this, and then that, but then I didn't do anything, and then that didn't work out. And, you know, so nothing gets said. She's sitting there going, okay, and then she goes back to the thing, and then she walks off. Right? While you know, I'm saying the younger boy, he would just say, no, but I was saying, you know, like this, and what do you mean by that? No, but I didn't like this, and then he'd work it out in a couple of minutes. Yeah. Like that. Not that he didn't have it, not that it was just intense for their position, but it's just the effect is much quicker. You know, that's the advantage. Like that. That's all, because then the taste goes through, and then by the time they are more mature and all that, then they know who each other is. That's the advantage. So if one doesn't want to follow this to advantage, one wants to work it out and get, you know, I mean, how is it? The Vedic system, they don't start on all kinds of interacting early, but they get married early. Yeah. And the modern is they start early, you know, messing around, but they don't get married till much later. So how that works, balances, I have no idea, but is popular.
I don't think anyone has an idea how that's actually going to work.
No, but they're very convinced about it. And if you don't do that, it's not right. They didn't enjoy their childhood and all that. And whatever. Okay, that's another topic. So, that was all about vanaprastha, right? Which was then about not being attached. Okay, about being dutiful, and that but the duty doesn't have to be governed or driven by being materially attached.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, the relationship doesn't have to be governed by that. It may be in the beginning, but then you connect it to Krishna, follow the duties, then naturally the duty side of it comes, the unattached from the material world, but it continues on nicely because of the other. So either it continues on nicely as grihastha, or depending on when it matures, then as vanaprastha. So it doesn't matter, but the mentality is what we're trying to get. When it comes, it doesn't matter. Prahlad Maharaj is already, you know, a Paramahamsa at 3, right? So then, you know, he grows up, he gets married, and he carries on very nicely, and then he's saying all this stuff like that. So you see examples of both ways. One thing, did Peter Pan ever have to go to school? No. So he didn't grow up, he didn't go to school. So what was the whole point of the song? But he never had to, so what's the anxiety? It's just to commiserate with all the other kids or something? No idea. No, okay. We have to we have to talk to the person who's up on the classics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would know. You would know. It's just,
okay. Okay. For a person, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, did we deal with that at all? No. For a person attached to the Lord, association with devotees is favorable and bad association is an obstacle. However, by strength of good association, bad association will on its own disappear. Right? So if you have good association, the taste for that will come and you'll slowly, slowly give up bad association. Right? If we have association of devotees, attachment to house, wife, children, and wealth should not arise. Right? So that means that we have association from the beginning, then in our training, that attachment won't arise. Whether we do those duties or not, that's another thing. Whether one graduates, gets married, one doesn't graduate, and remains a nice Tika Brahmacharya, it doesn't matter. The point is, the attachment will not arise. This means that gradually attachment to these things will be destroyed. Without house and wealth, without enjoyment, the body will suffer. How can one survive, right? This is the what do you call it? The uttara, the purva paksha, right? This is the doubt that has arisen. Right? In other words, we said about attachment, we've explained it. We understand what's happened? You've given your point, you've given your reason. Now this is where the doubt comes up, right? We see how it works. One is, okay, then he points. One is satisfied with filling the stomach by begging food, prana vitya, because he is fully determined, atmavan. One who satisfies his senses reaches perfection slowly. Or if one has association with devotees, one should not have attachment to house and wife, because if both types of association coexist, one cannot attain the Lord quickly. One who is controlled, satisfied with begged food, reaches perfection. Right, so in other words, what comes just by performance of your duties? Like that. That's the point. So it's not that you're just going out and just whatever comes. What's the point of begging? Can I demand? No. Do I go and knock on the door and hold out my bowl? Yes. So I've made the endeavor. But the result, can I expect it? Can I demand it? Can I say, I held out my bowl, now, you know, I get it? No.
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's there. That's another thing. But that's the point of the begging, is one's humble. It's dependent upon the Lord. That's why begging is a general recommended occupation for brahmacharis, brahmins, vanaprastas, sannyasis, because you are making an endeavor. You do have to go out. You have your place where you're situated. You have to go to where the people's houses are. You have to make the endeavor. Right? Does that make sense?
But the result is not up to the beggar. So that's the point. As I do my duties, whatever comes, that's up to Krishna. That's the actual beggar. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you know, he's the beggar. Right? When he's talking about Namhata and things like that. Was he technically a beggar? No, he's a district magistrate. Yeah. That means he's the head of a district. He's the top. He's above the police. He's above everything. You know, it's a unique position. He has control over different branches that normally they're completely separated. You understand? So he's all three in one person. You don't see that above that. It's somehow or another a unique thing for the district. Does that make sense? So, from that, but the point is he does his duty, whatever comes, that's what Krishna gives. That's the whole point. So that's the point of the begging. Yes.
He's the same spirit of being Sankirtan, the dissolution.
Yes, Bhuktasushan also, then you more directly see it, because you're just going out, you try, and then you see. So it's not about your lines, about your techniques, some tricks, because that's the point. The Sankirtan devotee goes, shows the others how to do it, they think, oh, these are the tricks. They try and they don't work. Right? It's the attitude that he has. That's what makes him a Sankirtan devotee. Because otherwise, how do you use the same lines again and again? No, it's about the person, the time, the place, the circumstance. So they adjust because they understand the principle. Make a connection, you know, like that. You know, introduce the books and like that. And so that's the point. Because otherwise, then you use these tricks. After a while, they get blasé and people actually notice it. I remember once we had a thing, you know, asking for the time. That was the trick. You know, and that way then you start the conversation. And I said that to one person. They said, do you really want to know the time? You know, because they weren't convinced. It's just, you just said it. Do you actually want to know the time? I don't remember. It was just like you're kind of shocked. You know? Like that. You know, so whatever, you know, or someone else was there doing what they're doing, and somebody came up to them and just said, you know, if you were more sincere about what you were doing, you'd have more effect. And then walked off. You know, it's one of those, you know, was that a Paramatma just sent that old lady over here to tell me that? You know, who is this old lady? Yeah, you know, it's like the lady in the Krishna book. We're doing something, we're going through these seminar kind of things, and it's not working for the yatra. So, out of the blue, some lady no one's ever seen before, you know, raises her hand and says, you know, why don't you read from Krishna book? Right? No one's seen her before, no one ever saw her again. So we said, okay, got out the Krishna book, started reading it, it worked. But, you know, so sometimes you never know what Krishna's arranging. He was the lady from the Krishna book. Okay. She was the Krishna book. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, one who satisfies his senses reaches perfection slowly. Or if one has associated devotees, one should not have attachment to a housewife, because if both types of association coexist, one cannot attain the Lord quickly. Because then it's like the anchor. Right? One who is controlled, satisfied with begged food, reaches perfection. So if you're controlled, then you just do things according to what will please Krishna. Right? And then you're satisfied with whatever Krishna gives you, that's what you have. Right? So it can be very little, like just a handful of chipped rice, or it can be as much opulence as Indra. So whatever works for the situation. But you see, it doesn't change the devotee. Srila Prabhupada adds, why should the menu be unnecessarily increased for the satisfaction of the tongue? Devotees should eat as simply as possible. Otherwise, attachment for material things will gradually increase. And the senses, being very strong, will soon require more and more material enjoyment. Then the real business of life, to advance in Krishna consciousness, will stop. So the point is why should increase unnecessarily? Right? You're cooking for Krishna, whatever you're cooking, that's what it is. You don't increase more and more.
Yeah.
So that's the point. So Prabhupada had the cooking actually was very simple on the weekday, and then on Sunday then it was elaborate, or festival days. because you're making something nice for Krishna. And you invited special guests, so then there was something nice for them. They'd be attracted by the arrangements and the association with the shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then devotees would maintain their health. You never heard of any real health problems, you know, while this is being followed. Right? But then when it turned that every day was like the Sunday feast, then in the 80s you started hearing devotees talk about health problems. You know, food's too rich, too this, too that, too everything. too much food. This is too like food. You know?
And then suddenly you have health freaks.
Yeah, and then instead of too much ghee, then it's too much protein, or too much this, or too much something. Yeah. Like that's just the American way. You know, you can't do anything without being too much. Right? So the whole point is that it's like that. You keep things simple, and then you increase because it matches the situation. But if we increase it just because we like, you know, and it doesn't have it's not based on the tradition or on the deity worship or something, then it's a problem. So that's why it's simple. In India, all the cooking on a daily basis is simple. It's tasty, but simple. And then on special occasions, then it's more fancy. And then on weddings, you know, it's, you know, knock everybody's socks off. And in India, no one has socks, so they're really good. Yeah, you know, really, really good. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is you don't want to do, because the senses will just, whatever you have, it has to be more and more and more. You know, till some point you'll be gold leafing your chapatis, and then that's not good enough. You know, because then the problem with the chapatis is that, you know, you don't have the svelte to make them out of, so therefore it's a problem.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
The funny part is these stronger things are actually harder to digest.
Yeah.
And then on thing, oh, we can't eat the Indian because it's so hard to digest.
And, yeah,
and then instead we're eating just pure concentrated.
Yeah, undigested. And they're also bad because they're usually quite processed. So it's, yeah, because you want to keep out certain elements of the food, so it's very processed.
Yeah. Yeah. But they come in a great plastic bottle. You can reuse it.
And that's something. Soma Prabhu told me yesterday that when they were, Prabhupada and the devotees were visiting Mishra's place up north in New York.
Okay, yes, yes.
Then he had all his disciples sitting there. They were all doing this biodynamic, super diet. And so Prabhupada, he was sitting there, and Satyarupa was next to him, and he took out a chapati, and then he took some white sugar and just poured like small mountain of white sugar on the chapati.
He told Satru to eat it.
Satru ate the chapati and he's looking like, oh my god, you can do that?
Yeah, yeah, you know, or is getting out, what are you good? Getting out the pizza at the beauty contest?
Yeah. I've made a horrible lifestyle choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking.
No. So that's what Prabhupada, that's the whole point. The devotees say, oh no, but Prabhupada wouldn't. It says, no, Prabhupada would just laugh in your face.
Yeah.
As soon as you think that all these health things, these are the real thing, you know. Like the vegan thing, he would have kicked it out long ago. You know, it's just like sugar. Oh, we don't, it says, you don't want it, you don't eat it. But Krishna eats it. So you don't like milk products, you don't eat it. But Krishna eats it. You know, trying to say, oh no, but Krishna wouldn't want it if he knew what this. He doesn't know, he's God, he doesn't know. You know, it's kind of like getting it right. So that's the whole thing. We project, that's aropya. We project our own values on devotional service and on Krishna and on Prabhupada and that. But Prabhupada, if there was an issue, he would always immediately go right there and poke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
With his cane.
Yeah, just go right there. It hurts here? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the point. Okay, so we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.